You glad to be in the house of God? Amen. I'm glad that you made it out tonight. We are certainly blessed and highly favored in God. Surely He has moved in my life, and I'm not going to come in and act like He's not, for He has surely moved mightily and took things that were meant for my destruction and lifted me up out of them and worked them for my good. So if you don't have a reason tonight to say thank you, Jesus, just go ahead and say thank you, Jesus, for me one good time. Hallelujah. God has moved, and I want to give Him glory and praise when He is worthy of it. You've got to begin to work these kinds of praises in your vocabulary for it to be something that you speak on a regular basis. We're used to saying, I'm mad, or I'm upset, or I'm flustered at what's going on, but it's hard to get out the words, thank you, Lord, or I appreciate you, God, or I worship you, Jesus. But tonight, let's just give God what is His. The praises in you are His. His Spirit is His in you. All He wants you to do is be willing and let Him have it, and He will surely bless you. Here the Lord has been put in my spirit this thought about facing the test, about things that we're dealing with and going through. The first night that God gave it to me, we preached on patience. The next time that God gave it to me, He preached about faith. And tonight I'm going to try with all that is in me to preach about love. It's something that we all want. It's something that we long for. And most of all, it's the very thing that overcomes a multitude of all the sin in this world. Don't you know that the fact that you're saved means that you're loved? The fact that you are redeemed shows that you are loved. We may not feel loved all the time, but we are. We might not always feel the best, but it doesn't change the fact that we're not loved. We are loved by God. We are loved by a God who cares about our cares. We are loved by a God who loves us in our times of pain and worry and fear and tiredness. We have a God that loves us when all others will lack love. We have a God that loves us when all the friends are gone, when all the church members have failed, when everything is going wrong. We still have a God that loves us. And I don't know about you, but every time the devil makes me feel less than what I'm supposed to be, I remind myself, now Lord, I know that you love me. I know that you love me. I know that you love me, because inside of me I feel something stirring, and it reminds me that I'm loved. The presence of His love is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The fact that you feel Him lets you know that He loves you. For in the beginning, His fellowship was to walk with them in the cool of the day. But as the Son of God came and died for our sins and iniquities, He sent another Comforter to walk with us, another representation to let us know that He loved us. So there's something to be refreshed about when you think about His love. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good. Give me that. Give me that. I feel like singing spirituals in here tonight. I don't know why. Enough for me. He loves you tonight. Glory to God. He cares about your troubles. He cares about your issues. The only thing that stands between you and feeling His love is when you accept the things that are not of God, the things that make you lose your faith, the things that make you lose your patience, the things that make you lose in a battle are the things that try to steal His love and His acknowledgement of love inside of you. If we only would get up every day knowing that we have somebody that's standing in our corner coaching us on to another round, then we never get weary, never get afraid, but be ready for the battle that is ahead. Some of you are just in the first round, and it's like, what has got into this guy? You've not went through everything maybe that some other people have tonight, and those are the ones I'm looking for, because I want you to know that tests are going to come, and it's not just going to be one round, two rounds, but you're going to have to go all the way through to the end of a fight, and the Lord wants to know where you're going to be standing when the last round of the fight is nigh unto you. Will you declare that He is Lord? Will you still serve Him first? Will you still give Him praise? Will you still remember your first love? We read about a generation in Revelation that had the form and tradition, everything perfect, but one thing lacked from within them. The one thing that even established them, they had forsaken. The one thing that could have kept them from straying into just tradition, they had forsaken it. The something that even gave them the ability to be a church, they had fell away from. So I'm here to tell you that if we don't get too careful, we'll end up just being another traditional establishment instead of being a house of God. For in the house of God, there is love and not judgment. In the house of God, there is embrace and not rejection. In the house of God, there is an opening of arms to those whosoever will let Him come. You have to bring emphasis of love to understand what love is for. Love was defined in four different ways in the Bible, but the kind of love I'm going to focus on tonight is intimate love. My wife and I have been married 7 years, right? Want to make sure I get my numbers straight. 7 years and counting. I said 8 the other day and got in trouble. 7 years. It's been a bunch of unexpected events, but it's been a wealth of pleasure. Ups and downs will come, but at the end of the day, I still have my wife. And oftentimes, we don't share how much we love each other because we're so busy, because we're so tied up in things. But I love her. I love her with all my heart. I would give my life for her. I would give her everything I could desire. Take all that's mine and let her have it. That's my love for her. At the end of the day, if you're too busy to look somebody else in the eye and tell them that you love them, honey, you're too busy. If you have lost what made it good to begin with, if we have walked away from what made it a pleasure, then we are just caught up in tradition. And not the pleasure and intimacy of love. At the end of the day, I could give her every gift in the world. I could embellish her with chocolates and flowers and jewelry and whatever that my money could supply. But you know, some of the greatest things I've ever done is just to hold her and tell her we're going to get through this, that we're going to make it through this, to say that I'm sorry that you're in pain, to say I'm sorry that you're struggling. Let me help you along your way. There is something to be remembered every day that you get up, to remember that God loves you, but He's wanting to know about how much that you love Him, because it's obvious that He loves you. You wake up every single day in His grace. Every breath that you take is a breath in His grace. Every time that you commit sin, yet He forgives you, is a sign of His mercy, which is love being shown through persecution and through wrongdoing. I'm here to tell somebody that you better look at where you are with God. If it's became more about tradition instead of the intimacy, then you have walked away from the very thing that is to give you pleasure. And I'm here to tell you, if you're walking in tradition, you don't feel anything. If you're walking in the motions, you don't feel anything. You don't feel it. You're wondering how they're praising God, how they're getting through it. And it's just become getting here. It's just become showing up instead of realizing why you should even be in the house of the Lord. I failed in my marriage. I've said things I didn't mean. And if there are any honest human beings in this place, you would admit that you have too. But there was still something in both of us that looked over the irrationale and said, I'm sorry, forgive me. Some of you may not know, but as part of my testimony, we were supposed to be married, and I walked away from everything to pursue the pleasures of the world. Drugs had ensnared me, my friend. I had lost everything, lost my school, work. I lost everything. Even got down to where I didn't even have a car to drive or two dimes to rub together. But yet through all of that, when she didn't see me and didn't know where I was, didn't know what I was doing, was still praying for me. Maybe you should ask her sometime, "Sister, what was it that was in you that caused you to keep believing? What was it in you that didn't give up on him? What was it inside of your heart that longed to be together again?" I'm here to tell you that it started out with love, and the active pursuit of the desire of the heart was moved by God when she had faith. Tonight, if you are not learning to love those, even if they're doing wrong, then when you speak by faith with the absence of love, this kind of work is unprofitable. For what profit anybody to gain all of this stuff and to lose what's important down inside of your soul? What good does it do just to go through traditions? Honey, it doesn't do anybody any good just to show up and play three songs, shake hands, sit down, preach, altar call, and go home. That kind of tradition is what is making church boring to the world. That's the kind of tradition that's making people reject God with no conviction, with no change of heart, not even knowing that they're a sinner. What kind of love are we showing the world? The scripture we're about to read, you can go ahead and turn there, is in the 21st chapter of John. If we don't learn to endure the tests of love and keep God first in the fight, come on, keep God first in the fight. If you've got a pen, you're meant to write that down. It's time that we learn to keep God first in the fight. Somebody say that with me. It's time that we learn to keep God first in the fight. He said to seek ye the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. You know what the kingdom of heaven is? You know what Jesus said the evidence of it in you was? That you would love your neighbor as yourself. That you would love the world. That you would love everybody. That the evidence was that you loved your brethren. So if you're not apt to say hello, if you're not open to engage people, then you need more love in here to where you're able to reach out to others. This isn't the age to be bashful, Brother Ray. This isn't the hour to wait till next week. Every time that you are in the house of God, it is with a reason and a purpose, because the harvest is plentiful out in this world, but the laborers, or those that are willing to do it, are few. Do you know why it's few? Because there are few that are willing to love the world as Christ did. Let them go through their problems. They deserved it. That's the attitude of the world. Well, if they're a murderer, there shouldn't be any forgiveness for a murderer. Let them die. There shouldn't be forgiveness for the drunkard or the drug addict. They made their choice. This is the attitude of the world we face today. And if we're not too careful, we'll forget about the very thing that redeemed us, that looked past all of our sin. Somebody say, all my sin. Man, he could write a big book of all of our sin if we put it together. Yet he loved us, took it, and threw it away in the sea of forgetfulness. That tells me he loved me. You know that I walk today as a brand new man because he loved me. The fact that I'm not living in the past that made me, I'm living in the new man, is the fact that he loved me. I hope I've brought out an emphasis to this, because you've got to think about the love that he has for you to make this scripture that we're about to read come alive in you. 21st chapter of John, we're going to start at the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time. The Lord brought something out of this that I never saw. Let's keep reading. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." When you read through this scripture at face value, it almost reads like he asks him the same question and gives a response three different times the same way. But if you read into this and study the dialect that this was originally in, you find that Jesus was trying to teach him about the way that he would tend to those that were out there that needed him. When you read about, I want you to understand this. When you read the first phrase that it says, feed my lambs, when you read this in Greek, it literally means to pasture, or the continual action of feeding and tending for animals. To pasture is an active lifestyle. It is something you do always. There is a world out there that doesn't just need you part-time, but they need you all the time. They need you to be strong all the time. Your children need you to be on fire all the time. The world needs you to show that you love them all the time. Yeah, you might go through the same thing as person B does, but if they are not saved, there is less required of person B than there is of person A that knows God. For to him that know much, much is required. It is required of me that I show the love of Christ. Don't you know that as we draw closer to God, that we draw closer unto innocence or without any guilt in our spirit, to the point that we would take the persecution as a lamb? What a love that you would have, that even if they wronged you, that you'd never open your mouth. If you say you want to live like Jesus, you're saying, I will live and be beat up and never open my mouth. I will live and let the world spit on me and pull out my beard, but I'll never open my mouth. You're saying that I'm willing to love them in spite of their sin and forgive them for their iniquities. But people don't want to hear that. People want me to stand up here and say that God loves only us and will punish all those who wrong us. And there's places that preach it that way, but that's not God's love. His love in us shows more of him and less of me. Where I would persecute, where I would judge, where I would be quick to draw an opinion, God changes my opinion and causes me to let go. If you want to tend to your problems, you've got to do it all the time. You must pasture your territory. You must clean up the fences. You must mow out the grass and make it to where those things that you desire are still in your sight and close enough that you can tend to it. How do we tend to these things? Through prayer. You get down and pray for the things that you desire and not let go of what you're desiring. And as you pray for those things, he gives you the love to endure the suffering that you face. The devil is out to seek those that have left from that love. We have generations today that only worship in lip service. The sincerity of worship is fading. The intimacy of worship is fading. People ashamed to cry. People embarrassed of who's looking at them. People afraid of what people will think about them. The world has got its own way of doing things. And I found that when I was in the party lifestyle, that if I didn't have anything to share for the party, I didn't see it from people. I didn't hear from them. I had no value or worth to them. The world only wants what you are willing to give for their own pleasure. And if you're not offering the love of God, they'll take everything you've got and bleed you dry, kick you to the curb, and move on to somebody else. But when you start offering people the love of God, there was a time when I used to smoke. I used to carry around my good cigarettes, and then I'd carry around this cheaper pack. And then when people would want a bum from me, I'd go and get the bad pack and say, here, you can get one of these. And they'd smoke that. They didn't come back and ask me for another one because they were like, oh, Jared's got the cheap ones. I want those Marlboros. I want the good ones. If we get to a place where church is just tradition and it's just about getting here and going through the motions with no intimacy, with no love, no active action of obedience, then we're just giving the world the cheap thing. We're saying, if you just come to church, everything will be okay. But that's not so, friend. There's got to be more in you. There's got to be more in them. There's got to be a greater love, because without that, we will not survive. So I'm going to humor myself tonight. Do you love the Lord? If you love him, then you will pasture what's important. Let's move on. The second time he says, feed my sheep, it's emphasizing tending in a supervisory capacity, meaning not only that you love and are concerned for others, but that you're willing to be bold and take a stand and prove yourself as the leader of those around you. That means taking a stand for your household. That means taking a stand at your workplace. That means taking a stand at 13th Street when everybody else seems down, that you'll get up and say, Lord, if nobody else will do it, I'm going to serve you. Lord, if everybody else sits down, I'm going to stand. Lord, if everybody else doesn't worship, I'm going to get up and give you glory. The Lord is looking for somebody that loves him enough that'll do it anyway. The Lord's looking for people that even though it's hard, yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to feel tough. And Brother Reese, that never changes. Every time I preach, it always feels the same way, like a pressing, like a heaviness. But I've learned just to shake it off because I know that the love in me is greater than the part of me that would give in to the fear of the enemy. And I love you enough to be obedient because I know that if I will love you and show myself as a leader, then God will enlarge my territory. He'll make the enemy to stand behind the fence instead of coming in, for he will put himself in sheep's clothing and he will get up in your business, and in an hour that you think not, he'll come and destroy your life. But I'm here to tell you that if you're tending to your area, if you're tending to your temple, if the Holy Ghost is dwelling down in your life, then everything has to bow. Everything has to be under your feet. Your enemies must be at peace with you. If you are pursuing the love of God, then there's nothing formed against you that'll ever prosper. If you have the love of God, you will not be afraid. There's something about when children get hurt, fall down. It doesn't even really hurt them that bad most of the time. But if they can just get that kiss from mama, if they can just get that hug from daddy, then there's something about that comfort that makes it not hurt as bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we take a stand for the body of Christ, then when they come in beat up from the world, if we'll just give them a little hug, he said greet each other with an holy kiss. That means be intimate, that you'd love somebody like you love you. And be intimate is showing them that you love them and will care for them when they get boo-boos or when they fall down or when they get hurt, that you'll embrace them instead of just seeking for your own. To love your neighbor greater than you is saying that you will humble yourself to help them instead of living by your pride. Your pride wants more money. Your pride wants a better house. Your pride wants possessions. Your pride wants to have the best marriage in town. Your pride wants you to have the best outfits. Your pride wants you to look the best even when you're going to Walmart. Sometimes I've just wanted to put on my gym shorts just to go to Walmart because I'm thinking, if I'm going to walk around and push this buggy, why do I got to put on a button-up shirt and please everybody else? But we live in such a world now that if I go in my gym shorts, they're like, well, there's the old slacker Jared showing up in rags going to the grocery store. He must not care about nothing. So much judgment in the world now. So many eyes that are looking on you to see what you'll do, to see how you'll bend, to see what you'll say when somebody pushes on you, to see how you're going to act when nobody else is watching. And without that love, I will guarantee you, you will say what you didn't mean to. You will do what you shouldn't have done. And you'll live in regret of your decision.